Well, good morning, everyone. What a wonderful thing to be able to gather together this morning and to open your precious word, Lord, and in this wonderful epistle of 1 John, where we learn so much about who you are and how you love us, and that God is light and God is love and God is life. So as we continue on today and looking at a few more verses, help us to understand, and may we respond, Holy Spirit, as you would teach us. Bless this time now, and may you be honored, and may your word be honored as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, continuing on in the epistle of 1 John, remember last week we ended in chapter 4 with verses, the last three verses we looked at was the consummation of love. In verse 17, we read, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And in verse 19, we finished with, we love him because he first loved us. So today we pick it up in the following verse, chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 20. I'll read the seven verses we're going to cover today. The heading here, or the subject, is really obedience by faith. In verse 20, we read, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Chapter 5 now, we move right on in. There's no chapter break in the original. Verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Verses 4 and 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Wow. Wonderful, wonderful seven verses there. Well, let's look at it just a little bit. We can't improve on that. That just the Word of God is the that's the apex of the study today. If we stop right here and just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that truth and maybe read it one more time or so. But nevertheless, these are the verses we're going to look at. So we will continue on here with obedience by faith is basically the subject, and the consummation of love is where we came from last time, and we get to verse 20, which we read. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So I love the way the Bible breaks it right down. No wiggle room, no wiggle room. He calls you're a liar or you're not. For example, you're saved or you're not. But here it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. So we might say, oh, I love God. I think most of us would say, I love God. And yet, is there any hatred in our heart toward anyone else, especially towards our brother, towards other believers? I say, especially towards other believers, in that we know how much God loves us. And that he saved us. And when we see other believers, we know the Bible says he loves us all the same. So he loves that believer as much as he loves me. how could I therefore hate him? So if I do hate him, that means I do not love God. Now, talk without action is cheap and really meaningless without value. But if God's love is truly in our lives, it cannot help but make its presence known. So a wonderful thing. We must love our brother. Verse 21 says, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So now we have the strong word must in here. Now it has been put in here by the translators. It's not in the original. It's just who loves God, that he loves his brother also. But here it's a little stronger, I think, in the connotation, and I think that's so accurate. It's a must one. This is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, we may not like the word commandment. We may say, I don't want to keep commandments. And you're absolutely right. If the commandment is from man, or if it's from a corrupted man, especially, or world leader, or whatever. But we've got commandments here from the one who created us, who loves us, who died for us, who has nothing but our best interest eternally at stake. And when he gives us commandments, we should be delighted to have them, because that's God telling us what to do or what not to do. And in this case, it tells us that we must love our brother. We must love our brother also, in addition to loving God. Matthew 5:43 reads, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor as your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. And then in chapter 22 of Matthew 37, we read, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. So we have, with all your mind. So we have here the commandment that we must love our brothers also. Now, moving on to chapter 5, again, no chapter break in the original, just on to the next verse. We don't know that it any time passes at all between verses, for the last verse 21 of chapter 4 and the first verse 5 here, which we'll read. Just assume it's a continuum. Verse 1 reads, whoever believes. So now we got a faith coming into this, because the word for believe and faith is the same in the original. So you could say whoever has faith, or you could say whoever believes. It means the same thing. This translation has it in the New King James. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now notice we've got a definite article in here for a very specific reason. It's not just whoever believes in Jesus Christ. It says whoever believes in Jesus the Christ. The Christ is a specific term which means the Mashiach or the Messiah, or the anointed one. This is the one term that is used for Jesus as fully God and fully man, the Messiah, the Mashiach. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. We read in 1 John 2, we read that a few weeks ago, verse 22, who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And last week we read in 1 John 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is God. The last part of that verse is, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, and we go on, is born of God, or that could be out of God or from God, whoever is born from God or of God, and everyone who loves him, God, who begot, also loves him who is the begotten of him. We read in John 1:13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. So we see it's all from him. He saves us. We can't save ourselves. And we believe in the Son of God. Now, notice Jesus Christ is specifically referred to here as the Anointed One. That is the Jesus in the Bible. Now, every cult, such as Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they say they love Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. And every cult always demeans or reduces the importance of Jesus. So here it says, whoever believes in the Christ, whoever believes in the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is the begotten of him. So another verse meaning that we must love the Father and we must love the Son. We can't love one without the other because they're both God as well as the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. Verse 2, by this we know. Now this is the last of this. By this we know, we've had these tests. By this we know, we've had eight of them. This is the eighth one. And so by what? By what do we know? It's why just what we read. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him, who is begotten of him. And by this we know what? We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. See, we have totally tied together here love and keeping commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. A mighty, mighty statement, isn't it? So it's easy for me to say I love God, but then I look at how completely, how fully am I keeping his commandments? And it may not be so full all the time, right? And so that means I cannot say I really love him if I'm not obedient to him. By this that we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So there's identification. What is the love of God? It is that we keep his commandments. Keeping his commandments out of love is not hard to do. Now notice this well. Any commandment that God gives us, I do not believe we can keep on our own. I do not believe we can keep them without his doing that through us. I don't think I have it within me to love anybody, but through his love going forward through me, if I love him in that way, responding to the great love he's given me, then it's easy to love others. It's when I don't have that love in my heart that hatred can come in, or selfishness come in, and pride can come in, and so forth. So verse 3 again, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God, now we have a new term here, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What a wonderful verse, isn't it? What a wonderful, wonderful verse. The victory. The victory that's overcome the world is faith, our faith. Now, overcomers is a great term. That term where the Bible identifies is what the believers have. They have overcome the world. It says here, this is the victory. For whatever or whoever, everyone born again of God overcomes the world. And what? And is that? It's the victory that has overcome the world. That's our faith. Now, it's kind of interesting when you look at the use of the word overcome. In the New Testament, it's not used all that much. It's used several times here in the epistle. It's used the most in the book of Revelation because Jesus, and I'm so thankful for this, Jesus used this term with every one of his letters to the seven churches. Now, you know those seven churches? Varied all over the place. Smyrna and Philadelphia were great churches. The other five, not so. In fact, one or two of them, he couldn't find anything good to say about them. And yet, there's overcomers in each one. It's just looking through these verses briefly in Revelation 2:7 to the first church, the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was called the Loveless Church. And he told that church, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So there's overcomers in the church of Ephesus. Then in the church of Smyrna, the persecuted church, that was one of the good churches. Nothing bad to say about that. We read there's overcomers there, verse 11, chapter 2. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, there it is, shall not be hurt by the second death. We who are born again will not experience the second death. Then the third one is a compromising church, not a good church, a church in Pergamum. But here's what Jesus said to the overcomer there in verse 17. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. So again, we see overcomers in the compromising church. Now we go to Thyatira. It was the corrupt church. It's getting worse. In verse 26 in chapter 2 reads, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So again, even in the corrupt church, there will be overcomers. And then the dead church in Sardis, Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. And then the sixth church, the good church in Philadelphia, the faithful church, we're not surprised there's overcomers there, because most of them probably are already overcomers, believers. In verse 12, he wrote, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Then we get to what is believed to be the church really in these end times. That's the church in Laodicea. It's a lukewarm church, neither hot nor cold, where he said he wished they were hot or cold, but in between the lukewarm, he would vomit them out of his mouth. But there are some overcomers there, because in verse 21, we read, Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So notice that there are overcomers in every church. I so like that. So what is the victory? The overcomer's victory. What is the place of that victory? It's our faith that gives us the victory. What is it that overcomes the world, as we read? It is our faith. It is our faith that saves us. It is our faith that keeps us. We are saved by faith. We walk by faith. We are born children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and faith is the only way which you and I will be able to overcome the world around us. Now, when you truly trust in Christ, it is not a question of our own power. It is a question of being kept by his power through faith. We, as believers, have faith, belief in Christ for salvation in the future, and faith in Christ for salvation from the world here and now. So a beautiful, beautiful little review quickly of overcomers. We have then the overcomers again mentioned in the fifth verse, the last verse we'll cover today. Verse 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? There's the answer. But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So notice now, it's so important to know and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's not just a good man, as those Islamic, I believe, say he's a good man. How many good men can save themselves? None. If a good man can't save himself, he certainly can't save anybody else. No, Jesus was the Son of God. That is so critical. If you are not really focused in on that aspect of the importance, you're not a believer. He who believes must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If he's not divine, then he couldn't save you. His blood shed wouldn't do anything. But the divine blood, the blood of God, was poured out to satisfy the Father's wrath for each of our sins, past, present, and future. So basically, who is he? He's the one who, as the Son of God, has obtained a victory over the world, and he is our Savior. He is the begotten one. begotten by God, who loved us so much that he gave his only son to die for us, that whoever believes shall be saved. So that wraps up these verses for today, and we see the importance of love, the commandments to love one another, the commandments that if we love him, we will be obedient to him, and then we have the obedience by faith, as we saw, that is what gives us victory over the world, and that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, verse 4 said, and it is our faith. Father, we just thank you for these few verses that we could focus just a little bit on the magnitude of your love and your mercy and your grace. Help us to keep these in mind now as we go to prayer. And as you lead us, Holy Spirit, in things you would put on our prayer, put on our heart to pray for, you would find where our hearts are leaning toward, and help us just to pray as you lead us, Holy Spirit. Being in one accord, we'll all be praying the same thing, really. Lead us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've come to about the end of the time now, and thank you for the prayers that have gone up. And Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your scriptures, which are so clear on the consummation of love and the obedience by faith. And we thank you for this epistle. We thank you for the whole word, the whole living word of God. Help us to be obedient to you today, Lord. Help us to love you more, and help us to love one another, to our lover, brother, and more. We know we must love our brothers if we are saved. So we can't do any of that on our own, and we don't want to do that on our own. I can do nothing apart from Christ, but I can do all things through you who strengthens us. So Lord, help us to walk in victory as overcomers because we're totally relying on you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd just like to close with it's a song that is not a hymn, really. It's a praise song, but it is a wonderful song that kind of ties some of this together. I will call upon the Lord, for he alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. So let's sing this together, if we may. I will call upon the Lord.
We need no other hiding place. Our hope is safe within your name. This we know, this we know. You promise never to forsake. What you began, you will sustain.
Father, we do want to call on you, Lord. We want to call upon your name. Thank you for the victory that you have given us. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you would die that we could live. Help us to walk in that victory, and may our lives just show your love shining through. May people come to know you just because they see you in us. May we be filled with love and truth. In Jesus' name, help us. Amen.